Flip it on, huh?
Flip it on.
Is that it? That's all there is to it? No, that wasn't hard, was it? No, all right.
Sound like I'm in a tunnel or something here.
Hi, everybody. My name's Mickey Bush and I'm an alcoholic. Probably an addict, too.
See my shirt?
Another dopeless hope fiend, look. Another dopeless hope fiend.
Yeah.
Good. I identify in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings as an alcoholic and probably an addict, because that's the way alcoholics like it done in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. You know, so I don't have a problem with that. Seems to work pretty good. One alcoholic relates to another alcoholic. Worked pretty good, you know, when Bill met Bob, and it worked pretty good for me nearly 16 years ago. And for the new folk around here, I've got absolute faith it'll work pretty good for you too. So, in Alcoholics Anonymous, I identify as an alcoholic and probably an addict. Well, I'm a real alcoholic, folks. I'm a real alcoholic. So, consequently, I get asked to do a lot of talking in Narcotics Anonymous, and was one of the founding members of Cocaine Anonymous as well. And when I identify there, I identify as an addict and probably an alcoholic. Because that's the way they like it done too. See? So it really doesn't worry me one way or the other. The truth of the matter is that, you know, my name's Mickey Bush. You know, I'm an alcoholic. I'm in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I know what's wrong with me and I know what to do about it. Now that's a lot of shit right there. You know? And I never knew that when I got here. You know. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that, you know, I'm a real alcoholic, you know. And I don't really mind, you know, what kind of program it is. If there's 12 steps attached to a program, I'm a contender for it, for Christ's sake. You know, don't really matter what it is. AA, NACA, ACA, Overeaters, Little Peters, it don't matter what it is. You know, it don't matter what it is, folks, you know. You know, I'm a contender for it, and you know that, you know. Walt's here and some other friends, and so, you know, I've got to be rigorously honest, and I guess I'll have to back up, because I did go to a Little Peter meeting, but they wouldn't let me in, said I didn't qualify. Well, the black folk think they got a monopoly on this, or what? Anyway, you know, my name's Mickey Bush, I'm an alcoholic, I'm in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, I know what's wrong with me and I know what to do about it, and that is a lot of shit right there. You know, I'm real grateful to be an alcoholic, just to put you in the picture. I'm really, really, really grateful to be an alcoholic. I'm nearly 16 years clean and sober, and I'm more grateful today than I've ever been. It's a bigger thrill to me today to be among you than it's ever been. It's more exhilarating than I've ever been, you know. And I give you that. I give you that to encourage you to be enthusiastic about what we do around here, you know. It just seems to work that way, you know. I'm really grateful. I mean, I don't have to get far to be grateful, just to put you in the picture. You know, I mean, my very name, Mickey Bush, think about it, Mickey Bush. Mickey Bush. You know, I mean, fancy having a name like Mickey Bush. You know, puts me somewhere between a mouse and a president. You know what I'm saying? Anywhere, you know, anywhere in that spectrum you're likely to find me, you know what I'm saying? And grateful, God, I mean, like, really grateful my name ain't Harry. Can you imagine going through life with a name like Harry Bush? You know? Yeah, I just missed it by that much, yeah. Anyway, you know, I can tell we're in a good frame of mind today. We've got some good work to do here. We're safe and sane and sober. Sun shining, lovely day. You know, I just drove down from San Fernando Valley and no big problems, couple of breaks, a couple of traffic jams, but no big deals, you know. Down here among friends, carrying this message. Staying sober, carrying the message. The primary purpose, staying sober and carrying the message. Now, I'm going to be referring to the beautiful books Alcoholics Anonymous and 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, you know. And don't be put off by that. You know, I'm going to be talking about alcohol and alcoholism, but please feel free to trans is applicable to you. Be inclusive, not exclusive. If you're a fiend, you know, feel free and feel included. If you're a pillhead or a nicer, and I recently is like a crack monster. If you're a crack monster, you know what I mean? Those, I mean, inclusive as far and translate mentally to whatever works for you. I mean, it gets really boring up here when halfway through these things somebody raises their hand and says, I don't relate. Drink, I'm a class of, you know what I mean? I don't know, you know, maybe, I don't know. You know. I don't intentionally use bad language today, but I throw in a few shits here and there, and, you know, I like the word shit, as a matter of fact, you know. No shit, your shit, my shit, his shit, you're full of shit, you know. You know, just simply because I wrote a word, and I write words, and I wrote a word for an acronym for shit. S-H-I-T. Simply how I think. So that's it, you know. So when my guys I sponsor say, well, I say, shut up, I don't give a shit. You're full of crap. S-H-I-T, simply how I think. So there you go. Anyway, listen, I want to get on here. We're going to have a break after about 55 minutes, something like that. It would really help if you didn't get up and disrupt me. I get, look, like this kind of thing, you know, look, yeah. Yeah. Good intention, bad move. You know, I was so obsessed. I only was saying hello. No, you wasn't even disturbing me. You know. And if the newcomer thinks they're the most important person in the room, screw that. Yeah. Anyway, I cover the first three steps simply because, you know, In my experience, and I don't give opinion, I hate it when people get up to these podiums and they say, everything you hear from me is strictly my own opinion, I'm just talking for me, this is just for me, just for me, just for me. I think, screw you. Just for me? No, this ain't just for me. This ain't a me deal up here. I don't give you opinion. No, I'm not going to give you opinion. I'm going to give you my experience. In this beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, there's nothing in it that says opinion, strength, and hope. You know what I'm saying? It's experience, strength, and hope. And when guys get up here and say, little duck behind, they think there's some kind of etiquette that says that they have to qualify just for me. I'm just giving my opinions. You just... I think, we don't like opinions up here. Experience, strength, and hope, not opinion. But not only that, there's a very big danger attached to that too. Because folk get up here and they say, just for me, I'm just talking to me, it's everything you hear is just my opinion. And then the newcomer, he hears that, then he thinks his bloody opinion counts too. And it don't. So I don't talk just for me, and I don't talk just for my opinion. This is my experience. And in my experience, every single day I stand on the firing line, every single day I see this disease killing God's kids, us alcoholic addicts. And I see folk like this week. Guy this week with 13 years is shooting heroin again. Another girl with 7.5 years is drinking, can't stop. It goes on, it goes on, and it goes on. You stick around here, you'll see it yourself. And it's one thing if you haven't done the first three steps. It's one thing if you haven't done the first step. But if you haven't done it, but believe you have, that's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And when I talk to folk, as I often do, especially relapsers, you know, and talk to them, almost without exception, in fact I would say without exception, they have never done the first three steps as they believed they had. Now if you're sitting around here, for example, thinking that you've done a first step because you've done what somebody said you could do, walk in a door and raise your hand as an alcoholic and admit you're an alcoholic, that's the first step, you're deluding yourself, you're missing the boat. That is not true. Don't fall for that. In fact, there's a huge amount of work to do before we even get to the first step. Do you know how much work it takes and how much recovery it takes to even admit that you're an alcoholic? For me, it was a tremendous amount. I got to Alcoholics Anonymous on January the 15th, 1983, and had no clue that I was even an alcoholic. And a guy got up in my face and said, "You're an alcoholic." I thought, that's bloody mean to say a thing like that. Don't even know me. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and sounds like a duck and smells like a duck, it's a goddamn duck. Just because it's been taking some shit and thinks it's an eagle, no, you're a duck. You're a duck, I'm a duck. Quack, quack." But you know what? He was giving me the message of what it means to be an alcoholic. Because I never knew. And I asked folk, "What is it about you that makes you an alcoholic?" And they don't know. They can flap their lips and say they is one, but they don't know what it is about them that makes them one. "Oh yeah, I'm an alcoholic. A real alcoholic." "Oh, are you? What is it about you that makes you an alcoholic?" "What? What is it about you that makes you an alcoholic?" "Well, I can't control my drinking." "Yeah, well, no alcoholic can do that. That's not what makes you an alcoholic. That's what is an indication that you are an alcoholic. That's alcoholic behaviour." "Well, once I start, I can't stop." "Well, we know that. That's information. That's knowledge. That's not what makes you an alcoholic." "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, you're going around telling people you're alcoholic. I'm asking you what it is about you that makes you an alcoholic. What is it about you that makes you an alcoholic?" "Well, I've got an obsession of the mind, allergy of the body." "That's a description of a disease called alcoholism. It's a twofold disease, obsession of the mind, allergy of the body. That's not what makes you an alcoholic. My kid could read that in a book." "Well, I don't know what you're getting at." "No, what I'm getting at, prick, is the fact that you're walking around here flapping your lip and don't even know what it is about you. I got two parakeets at home. I got a green one and a blue one. They're called Bill and Bob. Co-founders. And I've taught them how to say, 'I'm an alcoholic.' They screech it out, 'I'm an alcoholic, alcoholic.' They're bloody parakeets. But they go all around flapping their lips saying they're alcoholics. And I ask folk, 'What is it about you that makes you an alcoholic?' And they don't know. They don't know. And so if you don't know and don't understand this stuff, you ain't going to be able to get a full understanding of it and be able to combat it when the disease hits you up the side of the head at 2 o'clock in the morning one morning and then voices are screaming at you. Who relates to the voices that talk to you in the morning? Yeah. You know the voices I'm talking about. Those voices that just said, "What voices?" Them bloody voices. You know what I mean? Them voices that you wake up some mornings and the voices are sitting on the edge of the bed says, "I'm glad you're awake, I've been waiting to talk to you." You know what I'm talking about. And the voices set in, don't they? "You're a piece of shit, you are. You're just a goddamn piece of shit. Useless piece of shit. You're going to get fired today." She's doing your best friend, you know that, don't you? And the voices set in, you know. You know the voices. You better have more going for you. If you're standing outside a liquor store or a crack house, you better have more going for you than the fact that you don't want to do it. So that takes a deep lying understanding and a knowledge and a studying of this thing. And people don't do that. I'm not just making this stuff up. It's in the books that we talk about. You know? Nobody very often makes a study of themselves and their disease. And so what happened to me on that very first day, though I never knew it at the time, this guy was giving me what it is that makes me an alcoholic. And I never knew it at the time. I never knew I was alcoholic at the time. I was so sick, I never knew I was sick. I was so sick, you know, that I just never knew I was sick. And that's really sick. When you're so sick that you don't know you're sick. Do you know how sick that is? Really sick. And especially if you're as sick as me. You're so sick that you look around a room like this and go, "Oh, well, at least I'm not sick as him." You know how sick it is to think that you're not as sick as someone else? That's really sick. So, if you're in this room today wondering whether you is or whether you isn't a real alcoholic or not, I want you to know that I can relate to being as sick as you don't think you are. And that's really sick. And I never knew that. And this guy told me, "You're alcoholic." Like the beautiful book says on page 187. A lot of people flap their lip around here and say that you can't tell anybody they're alcoholic. It's a self-diagnosed disease. Load of crap. How can I self-diagnose a disease that I'm powerless over and tells me I ain't got it? How can I do that? I couldn't do that. Needed you to help me with that. That's where two drunks come together for the purpose of recovery works. That's what this fellowship's about. I couldn't do it. I know the book says you can quickly diagnose yourself. Bullshit. I couldn't diagnose shit when I was up there at the bar drinking. Nothing. Needed you to help me with that. So I couldn't self-diagnose. How could I do all that? I couldn't. This guy said, you're alcoholic. On page 187, when Bill and Bob are 12-stepping the man on the bed, the third man, it says in their story, and read it in the book, you are an alcoholic. That's what they said. And that's what you guys said to me. First day I got here. Now, I don't care whether you're one of those love addicts or one of those codependents that have got to be stroked and pussyfooted around. It wouldn't have worked for me, that. You know, people show me love and kindness, especially when I was drinking. I take that as weakness and just gobble them up, man. You guys put it to me straight. You did what we do around here. You told me the truth about myself and about this disease and about the nature of the disease. And you didn't hold and pull no punches. And this guy told me what it was. Because he said, if it looks like a duck, it's a duck, just because it thinks it's an eagle, and that's what it is. And that's what makes me an alcoholic. Hear it good. I'm an alcoholic because it changes my perception of reality. I have an abnormal reaction to alcohol. Alcohol changes my perception of reality. It changes me from a duck to an eagle. When I feel like a duck, I have a few swallows and I go swooping around looking for prey. I call it a nerd remover. It changes my perception of reality. I feel like a nerd, I drink, I don't feel like a nerd. I feel like a nerd, I drink, I don't give a shit if I'm a nerd. I feel like a nerd, I drink, you're a goddamn nerd, screw you. See, it changes my perception of reality. And Alcoholics Anonymous, folks, changes my perception to reality. Alcohol changes my perception of reality. Alcoholics Anonymous has changed my perception to reality. That's what you guys have done. That's what you guys have done for me. And I'm really grateful. I am an alcoholic because I have an abnormal reaction to alcohol. That abnormal reaction is that it changes my perception. It doesn't do that for my three sisters and brother. Does it to me? I'm an alcoholic. See? Takes me out. Takes me, changes me, makes everything about the way I think and feel. Like the beautiful 12 and 12 says in the first paragraph, you know, if such an obsession for destructive drinking has warped his mind into such an obsession for destructive drinking, how can I think straight with a warped mind? Couldn't do that. Couldn't do that. You guys had to teach me that. And on page 20 of this beautiful book, it says, if you are an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you may already be asking, what do I have to do now? If you are an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you may already be asking, what do I have to do now? So you have to come from a space of being an alcoholic to ask, what do I have to do now? And what we know what to tell you is the 12 spiritual steps. Those ones up on the wall. If you're an alcoholic who wants to get over it, what we know to do about that is the 12-step recovery program. See, that's what works for the majority over the long haul. See, and I never knew that. See? So you've got to come from the space of being an alcoholic to ask, what do I have to do now? We tell you what it is. It's a program of action, a design for living, a blueprint for life. 12 spiritual steps, starting with step one. So admitting I'm an alcoholic is not step one. People think it is, because in the beautiful book in page 30 it says, we learned, we had to fully concede to my innermost self that I'm alcoholic. This is the first step in recovery. It's the first step in recovery, but it is not the first of the 12. We've got to have a reason for being here. Nobody just slides in here and slips on a banana skin through the door there. We come here, don't we? We come here because we've got a reason to be here. And eventually, if you're like me, you guys helped me to discover what was wrong with me. Nobody else had ever been able to do that. You told me I was alcoholic. That was why I was here. I was alcoholic. Now, what am I going to do about that? I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, I want to get over it. Well, stop drinking. Well, I can't stop drinking. Well, try. Well, I'll try and stop. Okay, I try and stop. Look at you, you're drunk. Yeah, well, I tried. You bloody drunk. Well, cut down then. We'll just cut it down. All right, I'm going to cut down. Well, look at you, you're drunk. Well, I don't know what happened. I just went out for a couple and I just carried on drinking and I ended up drunk. Well, you said you were going to stop and you couldn't. Well, I said you were going to cut down and look, you're drunk. Well, on page 44 of the beautiful book, it says, if when you honestly want to, you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you can't control the amount you take, you're probably suffering from a disease called alcohol that only a spiritual experience would conquer. I'm an alcoholic. Holy shit, what's that? I'm an alcoholic. Wow. Alcoholic? Alcoholic? Far out. That was like a step up for me to learn I was alcoholic. They'd been locking me up in nut wards all my life. I wasn't nuts, I was alcoholic. Far out. I ran home and told my best pal, the one who just X'd me out of his life that day. Hey, guess what? I'm alcoholic. I'm powerless over alcohol. My life's unmanageable. He said, no shit. I thought it was going to be a surprise. Everybody knew, except me. Well, what's that? I'm an alcoholic. Well, if you're an alcoholic, you've got a disease called alcoholism. Holy shit, what's that? That disease called alcoholism is a twofold disease. Wow, what's that? Well, it's an obsession of the mind and an allergy of the body. Holy shit, what's that? An obsession of the mind is a thought to the exclusion of all else, including recovery. Wow. Allergy of the body? An allergy of the body. What's that? An allergy of the body is what described as a phenomenon of craving. Wow, what's that? A craving is a feeling beyond my mental control. Holy shit. So I've got an obsession of the mind, allergy of the body. Twofold disease. It has to be twofold. It can't be solo. It's got to be twofold. Obsession of the mind, allergy of the body. A mental obsession, physical allergy. Holy shit. See, my buddy is allergic to abalone. When he eats abalone, he breaks out. He knows it. He once in a great while, every now and then, he gets tempted and he has a taste and, you know, it's done in garlic or it's, he eats it with bread or it's catch of the day or something, and he takes a taste and he breaks out. He says, what a dick, I knew that was going to happen. You know what I mean? But he don't have to go to Abalone Anonymous, you see? Because it's not coupled with the obsession of the mind to eat buckets and buckets of bloody abalone. See? It's solo, see? Some guys get off work, they get off work at the buzzer time. You know, maybe they've been thinking about sinking a couple of cold ones on the way home. Maybe they got off the site, the building site, or the factory, or the boss has been riding them that day. They're waiting for the hooter at the factory to go. They can't wait. They say to their buddies to stop at the local gin mill on the way home. They shoot a couple of game pools, sink a couple of cold ones, and take off. They, you know, come about 4 o'clock, they get off at 5. From 4 to 5, they're just obsessed about getting a couple of brews down. And they just obsess and obsess and obsess. They can't wait. And they book on down the store, sink a couple of cold ones. They're just obsessed about doing that. But it's not, they haven't got the phenomenon of craving. It doesn't kick in the phenomenon of craving like it does with us. They haven't got the allergy of the body. They obsess about doing it. They have a couple, takes care of the deal. They go home, say hello to the old lady, eat dinner, go to bed, get up for work the next day. Not so the alcoholic. He's got obsession to have a couple of cold ones. He goes up, he sinks a couple of cold ones. Well, guess what? Makes him feel like a new man. But then the new man wants a couple too. So come 12 o'clock at night, he wants to drink more at 12 than he did at 6. You see? Because the phenomenon of craving's kicked in. See? Phenomenon of craving. See? A craving is a feeling beyond my mental control. So the obsession of the mind sucks me in, takes away my ability to say no. The obsession of the mind, don't forget, is a thought to the exclusion of all else, including recovery. I have an obsession of the mind. An obsession of the mind is a thought to the exclusion of all else, including recovery. Where the alcoholic addict is concerned, where alcohol and drugs is concerned, when we get sucked in by the obsession, it sucks me in, takes away my ability to say no. That's what happened, folks. Well, when I drink again, I don't want to drink. I don't choose to drink. What actually happens is the obsession takes away my ability to say no, so that then I have to say yes. So that when I do say yes, I think I chose to or wanted to and I didn't. Totally different thing. So the obsession takes away my ability to say no, so that I have to say yes. Once I say yes, see, because I'm powerless over alcohol and I'm powerless over alcoholism. I'm powerless over alcoholism first, I'm powerless over alcohol second. I'm powerless over alcoholism, which is in me. I'm powerless over alcohol, which is in the bottle. Twice, twofold. Once I drink one, in any way, shape or form, now I have an allergic reaction to that. I have a physical allergy to that. An allergy is described in the beautiful book as a phenomenon of craving. Once I drink it, the craving sets off. Now I've got to do it again and again and again. Because a craving is a feeling beyond my mental control. So I have a mind, an obsession of the mind that won't let me not do it. And once I'm doing it, I have a phenomenon of craving. A craving is a feeling beyond my mental control, so I can't think my way into stopping doing it. So I can't stop from doing it, and once I'm doing it, I can't stop doing it. Twofold disease. Is that a surprise to anybody here? It shouldn't be. We've got to know and understand this. What have I got to do? I'm an alcoholic. I've got a twofold disease. Holy shit. Well, the only cure we know for it, of any form, that Bill discovered was complete abstinence. But how do I quit? How can I do that? That's where our 12-step spiritual program comes into it. See, when it comes into being an alcoholic, I'm an alcoholic. I have an abnormal reaction. I've got a disease called alcoholism. Holy shit. I can't stop from doing it, and once I'm doing it, I can't stop doing it. Well, holy shit, what am I going to do about it? Well, like our beautiful book says, if you're an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you may be asking, what do I have to do now? Ask ASK. Ask Saving Kit. That's why it's so important, and that's why this beautiful book says, how come it's so important that every alcoholic must hit bottom first? Must hit bottom first. Well, I'm an alcoholic and I want to get over it. What do I have to do? Holy shit. What we know what to do is a 12-step spiritual program, isn't it? That's what we know what to do. Starting with step one. So, do you realise now how much time and how much effort it takes to realise that I'm an alcoholic? Just to even get the in-depth belief that you're an alcoholic, like I am. I never knew that, see? I just never knew. I never had a clue that alcohol and drugs was causing me the problems that they were causing me. I never knew that. Even when I got an inkling that, you know, things wasn't too smart when I drank and drugged, I never once ever got the inkling that quitting drinking and drugging would be the solution. Not once, ever. My best thinking got me here? One of you chaps came and 12-stepped me. My best thinking got me? You think I came out of that blackout, that last 2-day blackout? Because I'm a blackout drinker and user. Any other blackout drinkers here? And the rest of you lying mothers, I can tell. You know, you think I come out of that blackout, looked in the mirror and said, Mick, your life is a mess, you better go to AA and sort the bugger out. Never happened. Never happened. Never happened. You hear a lot of what I call lip-flapping party line bullshit around here. You'll hear it. You'll hear it. Got to get in touch with your inner child. Do what? Get in touch with your inner child. If your inner child's like my inner child, you ought to slap the little prick. I don't know where that shit comes from. Ain't in the book. Got to get in touch with your feminine side. What? Get in touch with your feminine side. If I could get in touch with the feminine side, I'd play with the bastard. I have trouble playing with the masculine side. Never mind. I don't know where that shit comes from. Ain't in the book. We hear a lot of that shit. Ain't in the book. We're all the same distance from the next drink. We're all just one drink away from a drunk. What a load of crap. Where does that come from? It sounds very well. People say that shit, but it ain't true. Are you trying to tell me that that dude over there that's being of love and service, going to his meetings, doing commitments, reading the book, working the steps, working with a sponsor, you know, putting a dollar in the basket, sponsoring other guys, is the same distance from the next drink as that prick over there who ain't doing shit? Not at all. Lip-flapping shit, see? Don't fall for the lip-flapping shit. Take the program out of the book. Because you'll hear a lot of that crap. Alright, so I'm an alcoholic. I've got a disease called alcoholism. It's a twofold disease. Obsession of the mind, allergy of the body. I know what an obsession of the mind, I know what the allergy of the body is. Alright, well I want to get over it. I want to do something about it. What do I have to do? First thing we have to do. Why is it essential that every alcoholic has to hit bottom first? Well, I ask folk, describe your bottom to me. You know what? They tell me all kinds of stuff. Very rarely do they tell me what actually hitting bottom's all about. They think they do, but they don't. Give me your bottom. Give me your bottom. Tell me about your bottom. What was your bottom? How we got to hit bottom first. Tell me what your rock bottom was. You know what? They tell me all kinds of shit. They tell me about being broke, busted, disgusted, and not to be trusted. They tell me about being in the penitentiary, married to Bubba. They tell me about, you know, hustling the Broadway, trying to earn a dollar. Nothing to do with all that. Nothing to do with all that. They tell you about having lost their jobs, lost their homes, having been deserted, had their kids taken away. Nothing to do with that. That's all outside stuff. That's all outside circumstances. Hitting bottom's nothing to do with outside circumstances, my friends. We think it is, because that's the values we got. Money, property and prestige and material possessions. But hitting bottom's nothing about outside stuff. Hitting bottom's an inside job. I don't hear you guys tell me that. The guys I work with, I spend a long time on this. Hitting bottom's an inside job. Water, huh? Cold water. I have trouble with cold water. I keep wanting to bless it and turn it into wine. You know, that's what the other guy did, didn't he? Thank you. See, hitting bottom's an inside job, not an outside circumstance. It's not about all the outside stuff. It's an inside job. Hitting bottom's an inside job, like it was for me on January the 15th, 1983. I didn't know it at the time, but I was so depleted and in so much despair and destroyed by alcohol and drugs, in so much inside turmoil and pain. My best friend told me, piss off, he said. I ain't going to be in your company when you're drinking anymore. Get lost. I threw the phone down. And inside I just went all little. Do you remember what it's like to just go all little inside? Where you just hurt and you don't know what's wrong and you just can't stand it. I remember this thing. Help me, help me. What is wrong with me? I can't stand it no more. Anybody relate to that? It's an inside job, not an outside stuff. Help me. I don't know who I'm asking help from. Help, H-E-L-P. His ever-loving presence. I don't know who I'm asking help from. I don't know. I have no understanding of a God. The God of my understanding was the religion I was brought up with. I wasn't going to do nothing with that. You guys told me pray to God. I said, what? I said, let go and let God. I said, what? I said, turn it over to God. I said, what? Pray to God. If I pray to him, he'll know where I am. I've been ducking God for years, man. They told me, them nuns told me I couldn't do nothing. God was going to get me for everything. Didn't matter what it was, God was going to get me for it. I couldn't even play with the old ding-a-ling, man. They said, you play with that, God will strike you blind. He got that too, huh? Well, you know I did anyway. When I found out how good it felt, I thought, well, I'll risk one eye. Pray to God. I don't know nothing about a God of my understanding. I've never even heard that shit. But hitting bottom is an inside. Hitting bottom is about turning to the source, turning to the power, turning to the creator, God, whatever you call it, whatever works for you. We have no truck with anybody's preference along these lines. I never even knew who I was turning to or what I was. But you know what? When I hurt so bad, help me. It was almost like God was leaning over my shoulder, said, Mick, you silly bastard, I've been waiting for you to ask. Now get yourself over there to that AA meeting. And the source sent me to you guys. The source, the power, the creator, the great spirit, God sent me to you. And here it was. Here's what I needed. Here was the power greater than me that could restore me to sanity. It was right here. Me plus you was a power greater than me. You plus us is a power greater than you. In the first two steps, you don't see Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Allah, higher power mentioned. You don't see higher power or any form of God. Or you put a power greater than self. That's what's mentioned. In the first step, we're going to go into admitting powerlessness. Well, what is that? I've hit bottom. I've turned to the source. He sent me to you. I know that at this stage, God is doing for me what I can't do for myself. At this stage, I can't do this for myself, and I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing anyway. Even if I could have done it for myself, I wasn't doing it for myself. I've just come to such a complete despairing bottom, and help me. And God has sent me to you guys. He's doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, and even if I could have done it for myself, I wasn't doing it for myself. And even if I could have done it for myself, who the bloody hell wants to? Even if I could have done this deal on my own, who wants to? I've spent years alone up here in my head. Years and years and years. I can be in an auditorium with 50,000 fans in the auditorium and be a lonely guy. I was too. I tell you how self-obsessed and self-obsessive I am. Backstage at a Rolling Stones concert, I'm backstage, there's everything you can possibly want backstage. Money, property, prestige, sex, drugs, rock and roll, everything you can possibly want backstage, and I'm backstage lonely. I'm backstage lonely. Mick and the boys are playing on the stage, and they're just jamming. There's 50,000 fans in their auditorium having a wonderful time. I'm backstage lonely. And this particular night, there was a big backdrop behind the stage, and it hadn't been closed off properly, and there was a 3-inch gap in the curtain. And I'm backstage, and how self-obsessed am I? As I walk past the 3-inch gap in the curtain, I think 50,000 fans stop watching Mick Jagger and watch me walk past the 3-inch gap. Can you dig that? It's the self-obsession, see? That's what I know about powerless. When you're so self-obsessed, you think you're the only deal. I was doing a talk in Colorado up there in Aspen a little while ago, and this guy came up to me and he went, "Oh, Mick," he said, "God, it's so good to see you again." He said, "I haven't seen you for so long." And I went, "Do I know you?" He said, "Well, you probably forgot who I am." He said, "But I saw you backstage at a Rolling Stones concert and you walked past the 3-inch gap in the..." And all these years later, I thought, "Oh, did you?" Oh, you get like that, huh? I'm an alcoholic. I'm powerless.